Appreciate Wayne. Appreciate all of you being here today. Appreciate your faith. If you're visiting, we're glad that you're here. We'd be glad to help you to understand the things of God and to point you in the most joyful direction if you don't know who God is. That sounds like a bunch of hype that fundamental religious people believe in, but the truth is God created you to live with Him, and that is your purpose in existence, and that's what God wants to point out to us. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me again this morning. Let's rise for a minute and get ready for what we're going to hear. Let's all stand, and we'll just kind of get ready for the sermon, and let's bow our heads. Father, we're grateful for the day and your love, and we come thanking you for the truth that you've given to us, for Jesus Christ, the foundation of it all. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth of the Spirit, Father, and a revealed word that we can understand. We come thinking about our own members, and as Brother Steve has prayed, Father, for the barons, we pray that we're thankful, Father, that you are with them through this accident. We pray that you'll be with them and heal Ruth up, Father. We pray that you'll bless them. Thank you for watching over us all, that as you do in so many ways, Father, as even you did in this accident. We thank you for your providence, and we praise you, Father. We thank you for being with Diane this week, and we do pray that you'll continue to heal her, and Father, for Barbara and Michelle and Chrissy. We offer them up to you, Father, into your arms, and may your grace and goodness and mercy be in their lives to heal them. Thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So we want to continue today talking about Satan, not because there's an analytical, you know, subject to talk about, but to realize someone wants to kill you. You know, if you tonight hear somebody trying to break down your door, it's going to get your attention, is it not? If you look out your door and someone's got a great big old shotgun and they're using the back of it trying to get the door open, you know what the other end's for, that's going to get your attention. Okay, we don't want to have enemies in this life, and we don't want to have people that want to hurt us in this life, right? That's the way it is, though. We have people who want to hurt us. We have a great spiritual being that wants to hurt us. And his name is Satan. Last week we took a journey to understand some things biblically about our enemy, and it is important that you know who your enemy is. We said a while ago, if you're visiting with us, it's important to know the things of God. One of the things he does is to help us to know who our enemy is so that we can identify him and realize he's in our hearts sometimes, and I can get rid of him through the help of God. We saw that Satan means adversary. He's against us. We have the devil who's called the worthless one. He is Belial. He is the devil. He is an adversary and false accuser and a slanderer against us. And he is truly an individual of ultimate pride. Though he was created as sinless, he's someone who abused his position, abused his role, and filled himself with pride and arrogance, and is actually working against God. Now, if he's trying to work against God and God's plan, and we're going to see some more of that today, I wonder what he's trying to do against you and me. And, of course, we are evidently the great battlefield of Satan. How can Satan get back at God with us? And he does so in the lives of countless human beings who choose to not believe in God or choose to just follow the flesh. Satan is so successful. But we don't want him to be successful against us, right? And I don't want him to be successful against me, because ultimately it comes down to what I do with myself and what I'm going to believe in and what I'm going to do. And this is true with you as well. There's no us, really. The church is going to belong to the Lord. We're not going to be judged as a church, though. We're not going to be judged as a group. You make your decision. You stand before God. You make your decision now whether you are going to follow Satan or you're going to follow in commitment your God. But you will stand before your God. And that's going to be, in its own way, a very lonely thing. That is, if you stand before God without God on your side. So we come to know that we have an enemy. We call him the beloved enemy, as we said a book title from years ago, Alcohol, the Beloved Enemy, and how we, you know, we have enemies in this world like alcohol and drugs, but yet so many people bring them into their lives, and they love these things and hate them at the same time. They become enemies, they want to get rid of them, but they can't, and they're always reaching out to these things to bring them back into their lives. It's a beloved enemy. Satan is a beloved enemy as well. What we want to make happen in our lives is that he becomes just an enemy and not a beloved enemy. Just an enemy and not someone that we are cooperating with in doing his will. So we continue on with today, character, the character and the wants of the devil. We saw the names last week, and that tends to tell us about who he is. Those names are very, very important. But we have the scripture that points out these things about Satan, our enemy. And what's going on in his life and his mind really tells us a lot about what he wants to do with us. He is a true rebel against the plan of God. Remember when he tried to tempt Jesus, Matthew 4? That was all about rebelling against God. That was all about, God, you're not going to continue your plan. You're not going to execute your salvation plan for man. I'm going to make a sinner out of Jesus. And did he really think he was going to do that? He thought he could do it with Job, right? He's going to try it with Jesus? Well, he's going to try. But he was rebelling. And that word rebel, our word rebel, has to do with war. That second term comes from a word about war. And that's the idea of Satan. He's just a warlike sort of being, and he's at war against God. John 13 and verse 2, we have the devil, of course, putting into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ. Satan was all about, he was in all the details. He was in the heart of this thief of Judas. He was in the heart of Judas to betray Jesus Christ. Everywhere he could intricately pour himself into the working of God on the face of this earth, he was going to do that because he's a rebel. And he does delight in harming the people of God and harming the things of God. John 8, verse 44, remember that he was a murderer from the beginning. That's who he is. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, a lion gets hungry. The devil gets hungry. Just like evil, powerful people get hungry today, even for sin and wickedness and more power and abusing others. Satan is hungry to abuse. He's hungry to destroy. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. Let's not forget that. God let him keep it, but it was a messenger of Satan. And that shows us what Satan wanted to do to Paul. He wanted to make Paul's life rough. He wanted to, like Job with the boils, you know, I can get to Job. If you make it hard enough, he's going to give up God. Yeah, he wanted to get to Paul. And to get Paul to give up God, because he didn't want Jesus to do his journey. He didn't want Paul to do his journey. Everything the devil is about is trying to destroy the plan of God. And this is who the devil is. He delights in being harmful and hurting. It's hard to imagine a being that thinks like this, that has this great motivation, but this is he. And he has great wrath, Revelation 12 and verse 12. Knowing the devil and working with some of the early Christians, realized he had a short time frame and some of the things they were going to be facing with in life. And he was going to work in them having great wrath, it said. He has great wrath. Wrath does not work good things usually unless you're wrathful against evil. If you're angry with sin, angry against ungodliness, that's one thing. But wrath does evil things. Wrath destroys things. Wrath destroys people. It destroys relationships. It destroys children. It destroys our working with God. Wrath does a lot of things. He's an individual with great wrath. Where did you get all this wrath, Satan? Why is he so full of wrath? Well, from putting all the scriptures together, we tend to see somebody who didn't get his way with God. Someone who's bent on himself, arrogant, filled with pride. God has not allowed him to do what he wanted to do. And he's been subjugated to some degree or another. His great arrogance pushes him on, and he's just angry, bitter, and full of wrath. Do you want someone full of wrath coming against you? Tonight, when that person comes with a shotgun, And you start listening to his voice, and his voice is filled with wrath. He's not just gently beating on your door. He's screaming. He's full of anger. And you can feel the anger, and you can feel, you know, this is someone I don't want to mess with. Have you ever seen someone like that out on the street somewhere? Have you ever been in a store somewhere and you saw someone was so angry, you realized, I really don't want to fool with that person because that anger. When you're angry, you do things that you're sorry for. And you're not very sober when you're angry. Okay? You're not thinking with a good mind when you're angry. He's full of wrath. Guess what? He's full of himself. He's out to hurt. And you don't want to fool with him. This is who Satan is. He has great wrath. He's a deceiver. Oh, wow. We could talk. Well, really. Everything that Satan does, what is he about? He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Revelation 12:9, the great dragon was cast out. This is all about Satan trying to destroy God's plan to bring about a Savior and to create the Lord's church. But he was cast out. God wouldn't allow the devil to destroy the plan of God. The devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. And his angels were cast out. God said, I'm not going to let you destroy my plan. I'm going to accomplish my plan anyway. But the idea is, here is that the devil, Satan, deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. What a deceiver he is. Eve. This will make you like God. It was a deception, wasn't it? David, you really do want her, don't you? Nobody will know. You can cover all this up. He knew how to deceive, didn't he? Cain, you just need to get rid of your brother. Nobody needs to exist under the conditions wherein you have been violated in what has happened. You need to kill your brother. It was all deception. Really, everything about Satan is deception. Even when we think our eyes are open, it's still deception. This is what he is. He deceives us in the flesh. He deceives us through dumb people. He deceives us through the media. He deceives us through brilliant people. And you know, really, wherever we focus our minds, we find deception if we're not going to focus our minds on God. He's a deceiver. You know what? He's good at what he does. Long ago, you know, there's been talk. I've never wanted to make one. There's a good sermon to make about Satan and the qualities that all of us should have. I'm never going to make a sermon like that. But one thing, there are many things about Satan that, you know, has made him what he is. He never gives up, you know. He's always there. He's always going to be present. He's always going to be trying to work towards an end. You know, there's so much. But this one is a deceiver. This deceiver is one who's going to try to deceive you. Beware of what you focus on. Beware of where you put your eyes, put your heart, because what is Satan going to do? He wants to deceive you. There's no truth in him. That walks with deception, doesn't it? John 8:44, he does not stand in the truth. He's a murderer from the beginning. There's no truth in him. And that simply means when you get the roadmap out and you find it's the roadmap of Satan and he's going to show you how to get from here to Florida, 99% of it might look good. It's that little piece that he knows you're going to take that'll destroy you. He can use a mixture of truth and lies, and it all becomes a lie from that standpoint, motivated by Satan. There's no truth in him. There's no love in him. 1 John 3:19, you're children of God or children of the devil. You are one or the other. And you either do righteousness or you don't. That shows the difference in who you follow, God or Satan. And you love your brother or you don't. And that shows who you are following, whether it is God or Satan. And that's his point right there. That's John's point. There's no love in Satan. If you follow Satan, you don't love your brother. If you don't love your brother, you follow Satan. And that's where we go. There's no love in him. He never gives up, as we said. Even when Jesus was on the cross, you remember those that were abusing Jesus and making fun of Jesus, the thieves that were there, and those that were around the cross. You know, if he's the king of Israel, they were all trying to tempt him at the last moment to destroy Jesus. Satan was there, even on the cross. Come, let him come down now and we will believe him. And you have all these people slinging all this junk at Jesus because Satan does not give up. Except in your life. He'll give up on you, right? Everybody else, he's going to keep trying. But in your life, he's given up on you. He's not trying to get you anymore, right? No, he's trying to get you. Put your name on it. He knows your name. He knows your strengths and he knows your weaknesses. And he knows how to get you. Whether he's going to be successful or not will be your decision. He knows the methodology to work in your life. He's not going to give up. And he will never change. Because everything that we read in the Scripture is a Satan from early times through the life of Jesus through Revelation that all his existence is about is wanting to hurt and wanting to harm. Now this sermon, of course, is all about not just having an analytical understanding of Satan. It is to realize this is the one that I'm dealing with. I have Satan that I have to deal with in my life. I have one enemy. It's not an enemy that doesn't like me in this life. It's Satan. And he can use other people in cooperation with him to be a problem to me, but I have one enemy. And that enemy is the devil. What am I going to do with him? Am I going to put my arms around him? Am I going to say I love God while I have my arms around Satan? This is what God is trying to teach us. Know your enemy. Know the fire about him. Know the destructive nature of your enemy. He is not someone that you want to be friendly with. We look at the heart of Satan. He has no love. He has hatred and maliciousness. He's exalted himself as highest of all. Jesus, fall down and worship me. Who would say that but Satan himself? He's abused his power, a deceiver and a liar. Towards God, he hates God and everything that's good. He opposes God. Towards humans, he wants to separate them from God. He'd like to hurt them, torment them, destroy them, keep them out of humanity, of eternity, keep them out of the Creator's arms. This is what he wants to do. This is the heart of Satan. It's the heart of the enemy, and this is the enemy that all of us have. This enemy comes onto our shores. The United States has been pretty blessed by not having much enemy come to its shores. This enemy comes to the shores. In fact, is Satan here today? Satan is here right now. And right now, he wants to tempt you. You know what he wants to do? He wants to turn you off from listening right now, right? He doesn't want you to hear this. He wants to give you all kinds of reasons why this can't be true, or reasons why this isn't me, or this is somebody else, but you don't have to worry about yourself because you're a pretty good, you know, follower of Jesus Christ for the most part, right? This is who Satan is, and yes, he is here because he works. He pours himself in the plan of God. He does not destroy the plan, but when we let go of the plan of God, he is right here to take us. And this is the point of God. You've got a great enemy. And he's not someone we want. We know, of course, that he has a kingdom, and we have to make a decision here. Do you really realize that you're in one kingdom or another? Satan has a kingdom. And it has authority. Remember Michael, he respected that authority. Jesus talked about a kingdom in Matthew 12 and verse 26. If Satan casts out Satan by casting out demons, his kingdom would be divided. And Jesus refers to the kingdom, of course. It's populated with people, isn't it? Populated with all kinds of followers. He has his own law from his own resources. It's not the law of God. It's what he wants. His law basically is the law of lust. Follow the law of lust combined with the law of destruction, and that is who Satan is. But he has his own law. He's militant and imperialistic. He will take people captive, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. We know all kinds of human beings that have been taken captive by Satan, right? And all of us at one point in our lives had been captured by Satan, right? We used to be a slave of his. We used to be in his kingdom. And he's imperialistic. He's trying to spread his kingdom. He's trying to make it as large as he can. You know, one thing Satan has is a very, very large kingdom. Now, I don't know how big God's kingdom is, especially at the abortion rate that we see taking place. There are going to be, heaven's going to be a really populated place, okay, with billions and billions of beings. I don't know about Satan, but Satan's volume, but I know that he's got a large, large kingdom. And Jesus said, what was that, narrow and wide? You know, narrow is the way to life, and few are they that find it, but wide is the gate that leads to destruction. That's where most people are going. And of course, we know that Satan has his willing subjects. Matthew 25, he has his own angels that have decided to follow him instead of follow God. And even we go back to Cain himself, Genesis 4 and verse 7. He's thinking about killing his brother, and God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And there God is telling him, you get the choice to make here, Cain. But it's your choice. You get to do what you want to do here. Of course, Cain rose and killed his brother Abel. He was a willing subject, even as Eve was in the previous chapter, to receive the will of Satan and to go forth in a lie because of what she thought that lie would bring to herself. Well, he's despotic and cruel. He's a God that will blind you. The God of this age has blinded people who are perishing, lest they believe. And you know, if you think about this, what would you think about somebody who took an eye, you know, I don't want to scare any kids here, so just think about somebody who goes around blinding people. And you see him on the street one day. I know who that is. He goes everywhere blinding people. That would get your attention, right? You know, physical blindness is nothing compared to spiritual blindness. Can we bring home how serious spiritual blindness really is? Satan wants to make you spiritually blind so that you do not see God, you do not see the path to take, and so you don't take it and you do not come to God. Think about that. He's after you to blind you. And he's got all the equipment to do it. Now, we don't feel it right now because we're still living on the face of the earth. We would feel physical blindness more than spiritual blindness, perhaps. But the day is going to come when we're going to feel our spiritual blindness to a great degree. We're going to know what the enemy did against us. He is a very cruel individual. And of course, his territory is hell. The everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 13 and verse 41. And we know that ultimately he's coming down when we look at God versus Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3 and verse 8. And step one was Jesus coming, living, dying, being resurrected. Who knows what the plans of Jesus are eventually except for the territory of hell that we just saw. That the devil's going to pay for what he did. But he is coming down. And God has already shown his victory. He's already put the ladder into the devil's territory and said, come on, saints, whoever wants to climb the ladder to eternal life, you can do that. And the ladder is, what is the ladder? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? And he is the way. So we need to think about some sobering verses because we have quite an enemy, don't we? Let's bring these home. We don't have enough time to think about everything that God says about the devil. You know, I've looked at a whole bunch of verses, and I've had to remove a whole bunch of verses because we just don't have time to look at all of them. So we're trying to cover bases here. But remember, we just said, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, Satan wants to damage you. He wanted to damage Paul. Satan sent a messenger to harm him, to hurt him, a thorn in the flesh, a physical pain. That's what the devil wanted to do. Luke 13 and verse 6, a woman with an infirmity, Jesus said this, that Satan has bound her with this infirmity for 18 years. Where did all physical problems, all sickness come from? Did God invent sickness? Did God invent being paralyzed? Did God invent disease? Who invented all this? This was from the fall of Satan. This is from Satan bringing the fall of man. It was what came to us because of the work of the devil, the work of the destroyer. Satan has bound her with this physical problem. Remember with Job, he's saying to God, oh, God, touch his bone and flesh and he will curse you if you can make his life hard enough. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to torment Job, and he did. Matthew 13, Jesus talked about the parable of the tares. And the enemy coming in, Jesus says, this is the devil. He sows his tares among the good seed. He sows all the wickedness in this world along with the good seed. His evil agents among the people of God. And Jesus says there's going to be a judgment someday. But here's the idea of the damage that Satan wants to bring into our lives. Revelation 2:10, don't forget that the troubles that these people were facing was all about what Satan was trying to do. Do not fear any of these things which you're about to suffer, Revelation 2:10. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Now, we talk a lot about God allowing trials and such in our lives, but let's not forget where the trials come from. The trials are from the devil. He wants to destroy you. We can do two things with the hard things. We can follow Satan or follow God, but what the devil is hoping to do is to make things hard enough for you that you won't want to follow God anymore. Get preoccupied with yourself. Grow bitter against God. Turn away from God. The devil is about to throw some of you in prison. Satan wants to damage you. And he wants your heart. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira had sinned against God? Lied about money? Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, that was a willingness. They worked with Satan. But what they did was, they said, Satan, pour all the evil you want into my heart. I'm going for it. We want money. We also want glory. Ananias and Sapphira sitting there thinking together, hey, let's go tell them, you know, we're bringing a bunch of money. We're not bringing everything, but let's say we are, and we're going to get glory for bringing money, and we can keep our money at the same time. Satan filled your heart. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 15, some widows were turning aside after Satan. John 3 and verse 2, the devil put it into the heart of Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ. 1 Chronicles 21, David was moved by Satan to number Israel. Satan made it happen. Satan was the tempter in what David did. Genesis 3 and verses 4 and 5, again with Adam and Eve, you will not die and you will be like God. He's getting into her heart, getting into what she really wants and providing her with the lies to follow those out. Acts 13 and verse 10, Paul with Elymas, when he's with Sergius Paulus, as Elymas is standing in the way as Sergius Paulus becoming a Christian, he says to Elymas, you full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. And there he was a follower, he was a child of the devil, he had opened his heart. John 8 verse 44, you are of the father, your father the devil, And the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews, their tremendous wickedness, of course. Satan wants into their hearts, and he wants into your heart. Don't forget, Satan is not just a piece of paper somewhere. Satan is not a three-dimensional figure that you can just hit in the mouth and punch him away. He is a spiritual being that wants to get into your spirit being. He wants to get into your belief of principles, your belief of values. He wants to get into your heart. That's where he wants to operate because that is where he can destroy you. And God gives us a lot of warning, of course, about the Scripture. He is a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. In the Scripture, he warns us about what's going on with this great enemy. He wants to devour us, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. There are fiery darts of the wicked one. There again, what if you had fiery darts after you all the time? You walk out, there's always fiery darts. Come over here, fiery darts. You get in your car, you know, there's fiery darts coming at the car, and then you realize there's fiery darts in the car coming at you. Everywhere you go, there's fiery darts. You eat dinner, there's fiery darts. You go home, you take a shower, there's fiery darts. And everywhere you turn, there's a fiery dart. This is what Satan is doing. He's throwing fiery darts at you all of the time. And he's wanting to plant them. And you know how and when he can plant those in your own life, right? You know your own life. But God warns us. Satan, 2 Corinthians 11:14, transformed himself into an angel of light. We're willing to, just like Eve, believed his lies and wanted to believe those things because of what you could get out of the lies. He was the angel of light telling her the truth when it was all a lie. How we can believe a lie and think it's the truth because we like the consequence that comes out of that. Satan can take advantage of us, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 11. The tempter will tempt us, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. God warns us everywhere about the working of Satan. But here's the beautiful thing. God tells us how to overcome Satan. You know, if it was the end of the story that all we have is an enemy, that would not be a good story, would it? It's your worst nightmare. There is no scary movie that you could ever watch. That would be like having Satan as your enemy, and that's the end of the story. There's no other good news to know to go with it. But the truth is, God gives us the good news. He tells us how to overcome. The promise is in Acts 26 and verses 17 and 18. Jesus came and to open the eyes of human beings, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. He came to turn us from Satan to God. And we find something, of course, very, very hopeful in that, don't we? And this was all accomplished through Jesus Christ. We're not going to go into all the details of what Jesus has done, of course, the picture of salvation. But Hebrews 2, 14 through 16, we have Jesus who shared in death with us, partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels. Not that he's never helped an angel, that's not the point. But as he's dealing with human beings and their temptations against the devil, he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. God says, I'm going to help these people to deal with their enemy. I'm going to give them what they need because they need a lot of help. Without God, as we said, we're in trouble with his enemy. But God gives aid to the help of the seed of Abraham, to those of the seed of Abraham. Now, there are many passages that we could turn here now and talk about as far as how to grow as a Christian, things to focus on, just many, many subjects, of course, so much in truth. But we all know Ephesians 6, where God talks about those fiery darts. And he tells us where you put your focus is going to determine what you do with your life. And he tells us how to overcome all those fiery darts that are coming at us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are you there yet? He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his might. What he's saying is, you can be this. And here's how. Put on the whole armor of God. Now he's talking about character traits and tools of God that are used to be successful. And they work. Put on the whole armor, not just pieces of it. Put the whole thing on and wear everything that God wants you to have in your life, and you know what, you're going to be successful. And he talks here, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness of the heavenly places. That's pretty daunting. You know, Paul, if that's all we had, that's pretty daunting. Here's what you're wrestling against. Oh, I thought I had to wrestle against arthritis. I thought I had to wrestle against stubbing my toe. Wrestle against that person that wants my place at work. I thought this was what I had to wrestle against. Let's get this right. All that is nothing. Here's what we wrestle against. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all, to stand. So here you are, you're being tempted. Here you are, you know, you may lose your faith. Here you are, that Satan's offering you so much, that's so much fun. It is so pleasurable. What do you do in that situation? Is there anything we can do? Because Satan is so strong. Does anybody here think that Satan's not very strong? Examine your own life with temptation with a capital T, and let's see how strong Satan is. We know how strong he is. How can we possibly overcome? Well, here's the armor. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. It's a desire to know truth, to focus on truth, and to follow that. Not what men say or truth, not because just someone's smart, someone's brilliant, but truth. I want to know what the truth is. Having put on your waist truth, you tie it on tightly. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you put on righteousness, the Spirit. I want to do what is right. You see, there's so much in what you want to accomplish that determines where you go. What do you want to accomplish? I want to do what is right. If you want to do what is right long enough, you know what? You're going to get out of what is wrong. If you want to do this, you're going to follow that path eventually. Oh, sometimes I steer in the wrong direction, but if that's what you want to do, this is where you are going to go. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace, the good news of a gospel of Jesus Christ that brings right relationship, peace between me and God. This great message that is able to bring peace between us and God and with each other. It is truly, if all men would obey the word of God, what would this world be like? Could you imagine? Travel to Kentucky, hey brother. You know, travel to Indonesia, hey brother. Travel to Hawaii, travel to Las Vegas, hey brother. Wow, where'd all the casinos go? Because the gospel will bring about that kind of a peace. But, of course, the world does not want that. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is your belief leading to trust and commitment. All three of those are necessary for Bible faith. If you take any one of those out, you don't have faith. You have simply belief. The devils even believe in James, the second chapter. You want your belief to become faith, wherein you trust and you're committed to the way of God. When you live faith, then your life goes that direction. As you zero in and you focus on going in a certain direction, you know, things happen that way. If you want this education, you make it happen. It's going to get done. If you want this car, you get your eyes on it and you work towards it and you get it done. If you want this vacation, it gets done. If you want faith, you can build that up and you follow that out in your life. Guess what? Your faith grows. This is just the way it works. These are tools of God. They're not human inventions. These are things that God says will work for you to overcome the fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation. And that's the idea of picking up the fact that you are saved. Someone used the word hope right here. I know I'm saved. That changes how you live life. That changes a lot of the sorrows of life. It changes a lot of the disappointments in life. It changes a lot of that what you don't get out of life. Oh, I never got to be a rich man in this world. Smile. Life is good. You have hope, don't you? You've got more than you could ever imagine coming to you. You have life with God. You will lift your eyes in eternity to see your God. You will be embraced by your God, to be loved by Him forever, to watch an adventure, your great God at work. This is a beautiful thing. If you take up that salvation hope, it changes how you view your life, how you view this life, and the truth is that you can someday have your head fall down on the pavement and you'll breathe your last breath. In that transition, you can know all is well. That changes how you think about your life. And you take the Word of God, if this is your focus, not what the skeptics say, because you'll find millions of skeptics, and you'll find people with all kinds of good reasons not to believe because they're bent on trying to prove that you shouldn't believe in the Word of God, and they don't want to believe in the Word of God either. But if you will concentrate on the Word of God, if you will let this be what feeds you, nourishes you, guess what? You will become strong. This is God speaking. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, always focused on the Lord, and being watchful to this end, you know, vigilant in prayer, thinking of the spiritual. You know, if we did all of these things, truth, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, praying, righteousness, being watchful. If all of these are part of your life, what's happening to you? Are you being transformed? You are being transformed. It happens. Because you know what? God invented these things. God says these things will work. You can't overcome the fiery darts by putting on the armor of God. Whose armor is it? This is God-designed armor. And the world doesn't get it. But when we trust God, we get it. When we trust God and we put this armor on, you know what? It works. And so it is on our last day on the face of this earth, wearing the armor of God. No one can snatch you out of my hand, Jesus said. That's how effective, how victorious this armor is. But the truth is, we can't supplant any pieces of this with anything else, right? He doesn't say put on worldliness. He doesn't say try to live in so the world can tolerate you. You know, don't put on a great love for your flesh, because none of those things will help you in overcoming the fiery darts. All of those are fiery darts. And sometimes we invite the fiery dart and we say, Satan, I know you're watching. Hit me with one of those fiery darts right here. I want it. That's the way the world thinks. But God is saying, you know these fiery darts, you don't want them. It's destruction. It's harm. It's ill will by a destructive being. You can have the whole armor of God. And you can live for your God. Ephesians 4 is really, really huge as we follow out our God. He's talking about anger. Anger here, applied in the right way. Don't sin in your anger. Because what he's doing, saying is, you give place to the devil. Sometimes we just want to give place to the devil. Remember we talked about, I love my God. But Satan, don't get far behind. Oh, where are you? Don't let go of my hand, Satan. Oh, there you are. I can feel your touch still. I love you, God. They still feel the touch of Satan. Don't give place to the devil. Because as long as we give place to the devil and we keep him in a small part in our lives, he's always ready to roar. He's not content with being a little microbe. He wants to have your life. He wants to devour you. He wants to be the whole of your life. He wants to be enough in your life that he's going to destroy you completely. Don't give place to him. He's our enemy. So, God is here, taught us so much. We have to make a choice. We have the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. God is a perfect king. His territory is that of heaven. Life means relationship with the king, with God himself. We can be under the Son who has been given to us in death, and we can be in his kingdom where love is rule. We can listen to his personal mind, which we call law, and lose sight of what that really is, and we can find righteousness and how beautiful that is, and be a personal friend to the King, to the God above, and live in a kingdom that will never, ever possibly be destroyed. This is what God offers. But what we have to do is to be real honest with ourselves, because Satan is a deceiver. He's really good at deceiving people at thinking I'm right with God when I'm not. He's really good at giving people what they want and doing wickedness while they feel good about their relationship with God and think that they are right with God and think they will live with God at the same time. He is a deceiver. It's up to us to realize, I don't want that deceit in my life. I want truth. I want truth in my life. Deception will destroy me. I'll take the truth of God where there is light, where the map is accurate, and where the king is at the other end. And I'll take the map provided by the king himself, and I will with it walk right into the arms of my God. How beautiful that we have this choice we can make, and that God can make it happen. So today, think about where you are. Have you been giving in? What have you been fighting lately? We all fight. We have to fight the flesh, right? Next question is, what are you giving into? When did you give in last? How often do you give in? That says a lot about who your boss is. Think about whose kingdom you really want to be in. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of victory. Well, Satan's not our friend. He's the enemy. Let's see those fiery darts coming, because he does want to tear you apart and devour you. And we can easily warm up to Satan because we like what he offers. But no matter what, he wants to devour us, and the dagger and the hook is there. But though he brings us into bondage, and we all, of course, become that sinner at one point, we can overcome Satan, and that's the beauty of God. Who is Satan compared to God? He's nothing. He's a dandelion to be blown away. When God speaks, Satan has to listen. If God's going to force power, Satan has to respond to that, because that's who God is, and Satan is not God. That means the Almighty God, who's in charge of us and over us, gets his will followed, his will impressed. He will enable us, because of his almightiness, to leave this world not being snatched from his hand, to go through death, and even to live in eternal life. We can overcome him. And of course, all this is through Jesus Christ. Well, this is a sobering collection of passages I hope that we'll all think about. If you're following Satan, it's no joke. If you're following Satan, it is not a light thing. If you're thinking about, I'll be a good, obedient Christian later on, that's not a light thing. If you're procrastinating your strength and your commitment to God, that's not a light thing. You are in the state of death if this is what you are doing. And right now in your back, you've got a fiery dart that is burning. It's going to destroy you. Do you think about this? Where's your life? Make sure that you're right with God today. If you need to become a Christian, there's water right here. You can obey him. Why not do that right now? Together we stand and as we sing.
What will you do with Jesus? The question.